Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Last session, we talked about that this series is designed to tell us the true meaning of restoration. And before I can even go beyond, I know a lot of times when preachers, especially in the Western church, when we preach restoration, we talk about getting our stuff back. And I do believe that the devil's stolen a lot of our stuff. And I believe we're going to get our stuff back the last 6 months of this year. But can I tell you that restoration is such a bigger word than stuff? Restoration is not just about getting your things back and getting your stuff back, but restoration is getting you and I back to who God has created us to be. It's just like when you get rid of your phone or you buy a new phone and you want to sell that old phone or turn it in, you put it back to factory settings, how it was created to function, because nobody wants your pictures. Nobody wants your playlist. Come on, somebody. And so we take it back to the original state. In God's plan for restoration, God is wanting us to get back to who he created us to be. It was David who said, I was born in sin. I was shaped in iniquity. It didn't take long for my kids to learn that lying could get them out of trouble, but they also learned that it could get them into more trouble. No one had to teach them to fib. Nobody had to teach them to lie. It was inerrant in the fallen nature of man, but I'm here to tell you that Jesus came to give us a better way. Not just a better way, but he said, I am the way. And so the true meaning of restoration is not just getting stuff back. More importantly, it is us becoming who God has called us to be. We're going to talk a little bit today about the potter's perspective, seeing things through the eyes of God. We'll dive into the road to restoration and why it is the road less traveled. Everybody loves to romanticize restoration and becoming a better you and becoming a better version of yourself. And we get caught up in saying things like that. But when the rubber meets the road, how many of you know that actions speak a whole lot louder than words? And the road to restoration is sometimes empty. It's amazing to me that the road I drive on today will be full, home today will be full of traffic. But it was weird. Today at 6:45, nobody was out. Everybody was hungover, sleeping. They binge watched Stranger Things 2 or 4, season 2 last night. Church was not important to them, or perhaps they got up late and just started watching online, and we love our onliners, but listen, COVID is no more excuse, because we've seen you at SeaWorld and Fiesta Texas and the movie theater and HEB and bingo, and so you can't use COVID on Sunday and not use it Monday through Saturday. The road to restoration is less traveled. See, that's where all of us should be saying, amen, that's right. What restoration looks like at the end of the process is important. We'll get to that. Restoration from last session is a promise from God. That promise is for every believer. That the marks of sin in our life BC before Christ had messed us up, had marred us. And whether your vice was religion or whether it was drugs, whether it was alcohol or whether it was relationships, anything outside or that severs our connection to Jesus begins to shape us and form us like the world wants us to be. But when you said yes to Jesus and you invited him into your heart as Savior and you spend the rest of your life making him Lord, how many of you know God begins to put his fingerprints all over you? That God begins to form us and fashion us how we should be, and that God made the investment of his only son Jesus so that he might be able to put his hands back to work in our lives. True restoration can only be found in Jesus. Anything else will be short-lived. Anything else will work for a while if it works at all. But Jesus is the only restoration that works. John 10:10, the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and life in abundance. Restoration is abundance. Restoration is more than you need. And I'm always quick when we talk about more than we need. Let's not just talk about money. Let's talk about joy that is unspeakable. That is more than you need. Peace that you cannot comprehend or understand, that is more than you need. Being filled with the Holy Ghost with such at such a level that you speak with other tongues. And if you were at camp with us when 111 young people were radically filled all in about 60 seconds, they were laid out all over that building speaking in tongues, and they couldn't hold it back. Why? Because they had more of the Spirit than they had ever had on them or around them, and now it was in them. Restoration is better than making it like it was. That's our definition. You restore a car, you make it like it was. In 2022, you can restore a car and make it like it was in 1972. You can make it like it was 50 years ago. Can I encourage you? God is not trying to get you back to how you were in 2020 before COVID. God is not trying to get you back to how you were before your marriage ended in divorce. God is not trying to take you back anywhere. God is trying to take you forward to all that He has promised you and all that He has created you to be. I'm not looking to get back to normal. I'm creating a new normal. And the only way that can happen is through restoration through Jesus Christ. God has us on assignment. That's where we left off last session. Our assignment, every one of us is on assignment. Some of our assignments last years, decades, lives. You look at something like AMA that Erica has co-founded and executive directing. You look at something like that, that is not a one-year vision. That is a vision that she will carry on for many years. And if she should ever feel like her time is over, somebody will step into the executive directing chair. And should God not send Jesus back for 200 years, guess what? AMA, I believe, will still be going, and somebody else. Maybe it's like we sang, maybe her children's children's children will be doing it. I don't know, but I do know this. Some assignments are for a lifetime. Some assignments are for a week. Some assignments are for a day. But realize this, when you realize you're on assignment from God and you start walking out that assignment, how many of you know the enemy's going to come after you with everything he can? However, the enemy knows that he can't touch your treasure, so he attacks the vessel. He knows he can't get to the assignment, so he comes at you. That's why when you have problems in your marriage, when you have problems in your kids, when you have problems in your money, those are symptoms, but that is not what the devil's really after. The devil's really after what God has placed on the inside of you. And if he can get us distracted by what's going on in relationships and what's going on at our job and what's going on between our ears and our mind, and we're fighting all of these things, if he can get our mind off of the assignment that God has called us to, then he has won. But I am here to tell you, when God put the treasure in earthen vessel, the next thing he follows the treasure up with is the Holy Spirit. He said, I put something in you from the very creative part of time. But then Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Ghost shows up, when the Holy Ghost comes in believers, now you've got treasure on the inside and you've got the Spirit on the inside, and it doesn't matter what comes at you, because now you have something in you to combat it. Doesn't matter what's going on around you, what's going on inside of you. Doesn't matter what's coming at you, what do you have in you? 2 Corinthians 4:7 is where Paul would tell us, you have treasure in earthen vessels. Why would Paul write that to the church in Corinth? He writes that because they had been misled on why they were being attacked. Racism is real. But racism is to get your eyes off of the real issue, which is hate. Which is, I'm going to get them so stirred up about the color of skin that they'll never fulfill their God-given destiny. They'll never fulfill their God-given purpose. When we look at all of the things that divide us today, a lot of those things are not even biblical things. A lot of those things are things that we've made up, or things that we have exacerbated or magnified. But I want to encourage somebody today, there are bigger fish to fry than some of the things that we are chasing. The Bible says that small foxes spoil the vine. I am here to tell you, you cannot afford to chase every little fox in your life, because the assignment is too big for you to waste a week, a season, a year of your life. You and I have to get restored so that what God is putting in us is not leaking out of us, because when it leaks out of us, we don't dispense it where God has called us to dispense it. The devil can't get your treasure, so he attacks the vessel. Remember, thieves don't break into empty houses. If the enemy is truly against you and coming at you, it is because of God's plan for you. The Bible says that the enemy goes every day to accuse the brethren. Every day, the enemy talks to God about who we used to be. That means that the devil talks to God more than some of us do. He talks to him every day. And every day, God shuts him down and says, that's the old person. You know what I love about God? The God I serve and you serve, he talks about the sea of forgetfulness. The devil shows up with a laundry list of who Brandon used to be. And God says, are you sure Brandon Fender? Because that doesn't sound like the Brandon I know. That is not the Brandon I know. Well, if you would have known him in 1999, oh, I did know him in 1999, but what you forgot is July 17th of 1999, he got saved for real, got filled with the Holy Ghost, went down as Saul, came back up as Paul, and so I don't remember all of the things that he used to do. It is under the blood. Joel chapter 2, verse 25, let's talk about restoration. The NIV reads it like this, I will repay thee. KJV says restore. I will restore you the years. How many of you feel like you've wasted some time? Raise your hand. I'm going to tell you one of my biggest struggles this year is not even being able to pinpoint what I did the last 10 years. It seems like I went from 29 to 40 overnight. I feel like I'm behind where I should be. You say, oh, man, don't feel that way. No, that's the feeling that rolls me out of bed in the morning. Like, God, there's some things I missed. There's some things I could have done. There's some bigger influence I could have made. There's some bigger splashes for kingdom I could have made. And you say, oh, don't feel that way. No, feeling that way is all right. Why? Because I stand on the word of God in Joel chapter 2 when God says, hey, Brandon, I'm a restorer of years. I'm not only going to give you stuff back. I'm not even going to make you the man that I called you to be. I'm going to get all the time you wasted as a teenager. I'm going to get the time you wasted in your 20s and your 30s, and I'm going to bring it back to you. I can't even go beyond a lot of this, but Joel goes on to say the former rain and the latter rain are going to show up together, and it is going to be a flooding rain. What does that mean? That God is going to bring you back all the stuff that you lost, all the stuff that you missed out on from the day you were born until now. And then he's going to give you everything in 2022. All at the same time, it's going to show up. But the first thing he tells Joel is I am a restorer of time. The locusts have eaten, the great locust, the young locust, the other locust, the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat. Somebody say amen. Until you are full, you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed. Never again will my people be shamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. There it is again. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see vision. This is what Joel's prophecy of restoration included. Restoration of time. Then he said, I'm going to give you plenty to eat. What does food do? It gives us strength. Can I encourage somebody today that your season of weakness is over? You're coming out of this season stronger than you have ever been. It was Paul who said, in my weakness, God is made strong. Don't hide your weakness, but expose your weakness to the only one that can help, which is Jesus. And Jesus will step into that weakness. And what was your liability now becomes your greatest asset. Why? Because it's not your strength. It's his strength made perfect in your weakness. Some of us have been hiding our weakness from God, and we've been showing him our strengths. And God is saying, I love those strengths. I gave those strengths to you, but it's the weakness I'm after, because in your weakness, I am made strong. I will give you what you need to be strong. And this is for somebody that's been saved for a long time. The next thing that Joel talks about being restored is he said, you will praise the name of the Lord your God. Somebody in this room that's been saved a little while, your praise has waned. You don't shout like you used to. You don't praise like you used to. You used to be the first one in the altar praising. And now you sit back at your seat and you think, well, I remember what it was like when I just got saved and I was living for God for 6 months. I'm here to tell you, your praise should not be lesser than now. Your praise should be greater than it has ever been. Why? Because you know God greater than you have ever known God. It is time. Some of us are wanting God, God, I need you to do this. I need you to do that. Some of our prayers should be, God, I want you to restore my praise. I want you to get my mind, my eyes back off of these things and back on you. Get your praise back. God gets your praise, you get his presence. Man, that's a good trade. God gets my hallelujah, I get all of heaven showing up in my bedroom. God gets a praise on Monday at your job, Tuesday at your school, and guess what? All of heaven invades your school wherever you are. When you praise God, your greatest praise should not be Sunday at 11 a.m. to 12:20. Your greatest praise should be in your bedroom, in your bathroom, in your car, in your cubicle. Everything that has breath, give God praise. He said, never again will you be ashamed. Said it twice. Confidence of who we are in Christ. He said, you'll never be ashamed again. You'll never remember what it was like to not know me. See, when we didn't know Jesus, we were a mess. Because we put too much emphasis on who we are. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm a mess without Jesus. I'm a mess without the Holy Ghost. I'll be honest, I'm a mess without Mandy. Mandy leaves and goes and does something. She's turned into an adventurer, and I'm not an adventurer. She said, you want to go kayaking this week? She said, you want to go kayaking? I said, I'd rather go have a root canal because at least I can lay down. She's gone for 2.5 hours, 3 hours. I promise you, I can show you the text. I start sending her a text. Hey, when are you coming home? I hear that garage door open, man. I'm just standing in the kitchen. She comes in. I just give her a hug. She's like, what's wrong with you? I was like, I miss you. She's like, I've been gone for 2.5 hours. I'm a mess. Without a lot of things, but man, without Jesus, I was shame-filled. I was addicted. I was sad. I was run and ruled by emotions. I was like a reed blowing in the wind. When I was with this crowd, I could praise Jesus, but when I'm with the world, I could get down with the best of them. Come on, some of you know what I'm talking about. God delivered you from it. And some of you know what I'm talking about because you were bumping last night at the club, and now you are bumping this morning at Living Way. And that's fine for now. We're glad you're at least bumping both places. But I'm a mess without Jesus. It was shameful. But when I met Jesus, it changed my life. I was talking to Rexy yesterday because me and Rexy were working on a project yesterday, and Rexy said, you know, a lot of these people that come to church and God wrecks their life and they do good for 3 months and then they leave. He said, man, he said, they can never go back to how it was. He said, because they have just enough Jesus now to mess up their life. He said, they go to the club. He said, the alcohol don't taste like it used to because you got the Holy Spirit saying, don't do that. They're trying to spit game at all these ladies and it's just not feeling right. Because Jesus is saying, come on, man, don't do that. He said, you'll never be ashamed. You'll never be live a life of shame. You'll never know what it's like to not know me. You know, that's why Amma, and I've mentioned it a couple times because it's part of what we do now and having the Plunkett family here with us. It's important to them. It's important to us. But one of the reasons why we should support missions is there's still people in this world that have never heard about Jesus. Can you imagine? Not knowing him, not knowing about, they don't even know about him. I'm talking about knowing Jesus. I'm talking about him speaking on a Thursday morning and me know it's Jesus and not just my inner self. Me knowing it's the Holy Ghost that is working on me, restoring me, making me who God has created me to be. I pray, I do all of it, but I cannot imagine going back to life without Jesus. It says, you will know that I am in Israel, I am the Lord your God, restoring confidence of who our God is. Can I tell you that we have a big G God? We're not talking about Allah. We're not talking about Buddha. We're not talking about Hare Krishna. We're not talking about Tom Cruise. I don't even know who they worship, but Scientology worships somebody, and all I hear about is Tom Cruise. We worship Jesus. I don't care what Washington says. This is a Christian nation. We literally created this nation because we couldn't worship like we were supposed to worship and like God was calling us to worship back in England. And so we said there must be a place that we can get to where we can worship like we want to. Fast forward 250 years and here we are today worshiping. Why? Because just like God restored the nation of Israel, God said, I'm going to make sure my people always know that I am the one and true living God. Jehovah of the Old Testament, Jesus of the New Testament. He's not just on paper. He's in the room. He's not just a statue on a cross. He's in your heart. His spirit rules your life. I'm talking about the confidence that we have the God of the universe. Said your young people will prophesy. Man, the prophetic future. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Vision, when you look at that word vision in the Greek, it comes from the word chazal. Chazal means a vision, something born or something revealed out of a dream, which means this church, we have to have the old man's dream to give young men vision. We want to be a multicultural church, but we also want to be a multi-generational church. Why? Because the old man's dream is what's going to give us our vision. And the old man's dream needs some young men and young women's legs and zeal. And when you put both of them together again, it's the former rain and the latter rain coming together. And I prophesy today that the greatest prophets are not going to be on Christian television, but you have rocked them to sleep in your house. You have raised them. You have sent them off to school. You have fed them breakfast, and your children are going to turn to you and they're going to begin to prophesy about your future. Prophesy about what God has promised. Prophesy about what God is doing. It's not going to come from some prophet that you don't know. You are raising a prophetic voice in your house. And it's in turn going to bring restoration. Check this out. God says, I'm going to restore all of these things, and afterward, I will pour out my spirit. Some of us on Wednesday nights, we've been talking about Elijah and Elisha and the mantle moments, catching the mantle, going from single to double portion. There's a lot of us that want the double portion of God, but we don't want the responsibility that comes with carrying that kind of anointing. There's a lot of great things that God wants to restore, but he's really trying to get you to the place so that when he pours out, come on, you are not a broken vessel. That when he pours out his spirit, you don't have a bunch of holes in you again. I know we're supposed to get rid of everything God gives us. And when God pours into me on Sunday, I'm gonna start dispensing that on Monday and Tuesday. But what God doesn't want is God doesn't want your vase to be broken. Mandy and Jaden made fun of me for saying vase last week. Listen, this redneck boy can say vase if he wants to say vase. You say vase, but I come from a distinguished group of rednecks and hillbillies from Illinois and Louisiana, and so I want to say vase. There's a problem when you have a broken vase, because what God puts in you, you don't dispense. It just leaks out of you and it's wasted. And so God says, first I need to put you back together. Why? Because I'm getting ready to pour something into you, and your job needs it on Monday, and the hospital needs it on Tuesday, and your stepmom needs it on Wednesday morning, and your ex-husband's gonna need a dose on Thursday when you swap kids. I am here to tell you, God, restore me so you can fill me. And when you fill me, God, I will dispense it for a generation. Somebody say restore. Praise team, come. Everybody stand on your feet in the house. Joel said, after this, God will pour. After this. You have to know the this. Then Joel would say, this is that. Or Peter would say, this is that that was prophesied. Peter knew when restoration was complete, because he said that's when the pouring started happening. You know, all of this makes more sense to me every time that I read and study and preach this. There's so many people in a room like this. Have you ever been worshiping crazily and out of the side of your eye, someone standing this far from you standing like this? say, how can they not feel what I feel? They're not restored. See, you're catching everything that God is putting out.